Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our message today comes from Luke chapter 10, verse 2. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We pray. Lord God, we know how easy it is to be distracted and to focus on this world rather than the kingdom of heaven, and that we are truly citizens of heaven. We pray that we would be awakened by your Holy Spirit to know the joy of salvation and to know what life really is found in following you and living as your servant here, that others may be brought into your harvest. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sometimes I feel like the farmers really have an advantage in reading the Bible because there's so many examples of farming, parables that talk about illustrations that farmers would understand. And I think we can all understand the imagery of farming and how you have to work very hard to prepare the crops and plant the seeds. And eventually, even though it may not look like it, eventually, in due time, the harvest will come. There'll be harvest time again every year. But the farmer can't really control how much of a harvest happens. He can't really determine what crops he wants to grow. He can only sow the seed that he's been given and pray and hope that the harvest will come. But it's easy as we look around in our world to think that it's not really that big of a harvest field. What that really means is that the harvest field is, of course, the world, and a harvest would be people coming to know a relationship with Jesus and the eternal life through that, by his grace. But as we look around in our world, it can be easy to think that, there's not really a lot of opportunity. I mean, it just kind of seems like culture's getting more and more corrupt, and people are becoming selfish and individualistic, and just losing the biblical principles that we first had when we founded the country. It seems like when we think about love, all that we really know is tolerance and acceptance. We don't really understand truth or absolute truth. We don't understand sacrifice, really. It's not that important to us. When it comes to truth, it's often just what we think is true rather than what God says is true. We kind of want to just be the lords of our lives, right? We want to be the masters of our life. We feel that it's our right as Americans to be able to live life the way that we want to live. And in fact, that we even are deserving of this. When trouble or someone tries to take away our rights, we feel that we have been treated unfairly and that God is giving us a raw deal. Maybe even God isn't in the picture at all. And especially with some of the rulings of the Supreme Court recently, it can seem like we've kind of lost our way there, too. And you only need to turn on the news to get more discouraging news, right? And it doesn't really seem like the harvest is plentiful. It seems like the harvest is few, even while the laborers might be plentiful. But Jesus says it's just the opposite. The harvest is plentiful. And we can know that not just because Jesus says it, but because of the context in which he says these words. In the Roman Empire, this was an unbelieving empire. The people didn't worship Jesus. They worshiped all kinds of gods. They had an endless list of gods that they worshipped and prayed to, right? Romans were known for that, especially, and all these statues of gods that they prayed to. And so Christianity was not central to their lives at all. And just like in America, Christianity is no longer the center of our nation, right? It's no longer a church culture. We've lost our influence. We've lost the ability for a lot of people even to care about us or listen to us. And just like America, Rome was a prosperous economy, right? They just had, at the time of Jesus' birth, they had the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome, where they had this unprecedented period of peace from enemies attacking them. They had such a strong military. They had a prosperous economy. They had a good trade system, travel system. And so it was easy for people to be able to take pride in being a Roman citizen. And it's just like with us, too. It's easy for us to take pride in being American citizens and to put that above being a citizen in heaven and the joy of having life in Jesus Christ. And even in the midst of this culture of Rome, where it seemed like people had the security that they needed, or even in the culture of Rome where it seemed like it was really immoral and corrupt, probably was, it seemed like there would be no way for people to be able to learn about Jesus. And Jesus declares these words, "The harvest is plentiful." So often we just think the world's going to hell in a handbasket. There's nothing we can do about it. So we just better just do our own thing, right? Because no one's going to listen to us. Well, that may be, right? And it's certainly going to be people who reject us, just as they did in the gospel reading. As Jesus says, lists the talents that rejected him. But some people will listen. And some people will hear the gospel and receive it with joy, just as we have. And see, that just makes all the difference in the world. That means that all of our hard work and efforts and to battle against the powers of sin and evil in our world are in vain. And God is faithful to bring in a harvest, to bring in people into relationship with Him through, this is the amazing part, people like us. Because it's not really us doing it, it's Jesus doing it. It's His Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And that's how He's able to use us to bring in a harvest. And of course we know that today is the 4th of July weekend. And we really are blessed to live in a country with so many freedoms. Even if we don't like that some of them are under attack, maybe our religious freedoms. But we still have it, I think, way better than any country in the world as far as freedoms to the choices that we can make and to worship the Lord and to gather freely without being persecuted. And it's become, we have this freedom as a result of all the sacrifices of our brave men and women who laid down their lives without even knowing us. Just doing it freely. And so it's, you know, it's a good thing to be glad that we're Americans in a country that has the freedoms that it does. But what Jesus wants us to know today is that as good as those things might be and as nice as the security can be at times to be an American, that's really not the source of our joy. Because the source of our joy is that our names are written in heaven. You probably haven't had experiences of casting out demons like the disciples did, I'm guessing. So they wanted to rejoice in that, in the authority that they had over the power of the devil. But really our temptation is probably more to rejoice in just that we're Americans and we seemingly have this security and identity and freedom that can't be taken away by anything. this really isn't true, is it? We know that one day our freedoms will no longer exist in this country. One day America won't be the superpower. One day we will not be secure to live in here. One day the government will not be as good as it was. And then what will happen to our joy and our security and our identity when that is taken away? Then our joy too is taken away. So Jesus wants us to put our trust in that which is not taken away. That which endures despite all the problems in the world and all the problems in governments, all the problems with cultures. One thing that can't be taken away is that by His grace, through His death on the cross for our sins and resurrection from the dead, He gives us the great joy and assurance of having our names written in the book of life forever in heaven. That nothing and no one can take that away. No government, no legislature, no group of people, no majority, no military force, no persuasive arguments. Nothing can take that away. That's why the most important thing is that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And as Christians, we live with this dual citizenship, don't we? We're citizens of heaven, and also we live here. Citizens of the earth. My brother Seth is married to two kids, and he's almost got his citizenship in Norway now. He's been living in Norway for probably 4 years, I think. So it's been interesting for him. The kids, I believe, have dual citizenship now because they were born in Norway. So it's been interesting for him to live in another country, experience another culture, and to have that kind of, and he's a resident in one place, but a citizen in another. And he's able to learn some of the good things of being a citizen or a resident of Norway now. Some of the good things of that culture, like eating lutefisk and perhaps some beautiful scenery. I guess he has tried it before and thought it wasn't that bad. There's a more laid back, there's a really relaxed attitude. Their government has $800 billion in savings. Quite different story, national debt, trillions. But they're also, they bring their culture of America and the good things that they brought from learning in American culture. As much as we beat out our American culture, there are some good things about it. And he was able to bring, you know, his business practices, his education that he learned while being American, there to that culture, to make his place of work, his business, more successful. And at the same time, though, he really misses his original country. He misses his home. He misses some of the stores. He misses being able to eat weekends. He always wants me to buy boxes of that whenever I go and visit him. Just kind of weird. They search your luggage. Like, why have you got 8 boxes of weekends in your luggage? You know, what are you trying to do? He misses some of those things. He misses his friends and family. So while he lives in another culture, he still has that longing for home. That's the way that we live as citizens of heaven and citizens of America. And see, there will be a conflict of cultures. There will be a conflict in how we live as Christians. And the beliefs and the truths that we have, and the beliefs and the truths that people have in this world, and as Americans. And in fact, it's so bad that Jesus says it's like sending us out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Right? It's not a very encouraging picture. Then he also gives us the assurance that he's going to protect us from the evil one, and we're going to go with his authority. That is above all authority. That nothing will harm us. Certainly also that persecution will come, but that he's going to be by our side protecting us, to preserve us so that his message of eternal life can be proclaimed. And we're going to long for to be at home in heaven. We're going to be longing for to see that fruition of the kingdom of God, where there will only be peace like a river, as it says in Isaiah, extending peace to her like a river. That perfect righteousness, that perfect experience of joy and relationship with one another and with God, with no more sin to divide us or get in the way. We long for that. And that's the hope that keeps us going. But you see, that's why it's also called work, to work in God's harvest field. Because we do live in that conflict of cultures between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. But yet, that's why God gives us a task to do while we're here. He doesn't just take us to heaven because he wants to use us so that other people will know the joy of having their names written in heaven. So it's not based on something fleeting like being an American or having a 401k or having a big house or having enough people on your side. We get to tell people the joy of having an identity, security, and a salvation that nothing and no one can take away. Because it comes through the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. Written with his own blood that he shed on the cross for our sins. And so we have this wonderful encouragement in Galatians, don't grow weary of doing good. Don't grow weary of the conflict that you have in this world with the sinful culture that we live in. Don't grow weary that a lot of times it's going to feel like an uphill battle because you're going against the default that people don't want God in their lives, that they want to follow their own way. But don't grow weary, because in due time, God will bring in a harvest. Just as he brought in you and me through the gospel proclaimed through other people, through holy baptism, through somebody else, through his messenger, who proclaimed to you that good news of life in Jesus Christ. And it happens through doing good, through taking advantage of those opportunities that God places before us. Wherever we are, in our homes, in our communities, in our jobs, we do those good works God has prepared for us as a response to him giving us so much, an eternal inheritance. And you see, when we do that, when we show his love to other people, it opens up doors for us to talk about the best thing, that our names are written in heaven. And that's where our citizenship really lies. And that nothing, not even death, not even the worst darkness, not even the devil himself, can take that away. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we know it's good not only to hear God's word, but to... So we know it's good to not only hear God's word, but to put it into practice. We like to take a moment of silence just for you to think about what God has given you to do or believe as a result of our message today. You can think about it or write it down. What is God doing